How many can say like me, all my life, God, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Looking back on 65 years, God's been faithful to me. Praise God. I was born on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th. I was supposed to be born Christmas Day, and my mom fell down some stairs and went into labor on Thanksgiving morning. And God's been good to me every day of my life. I know you say the same thing. He's a mighty good God. Amen. All right. How many are ready to go to the Word? Praise God. Do you appreciate the worship and our worship team, singers and musicians alike, leading us into the presence of God? Let them hear you. Let them hear you. Don't you appreciate them? Praise God. If you can't minister after they get done, man, something's wrong with you. You need to go back and get something else because, man, they just lead you right into the presence of God. Tonight, the title of this message tonight, God's got a rhema word just for you. I said, God's got a rhema word just for you. I wonder if you'd help me with my title tonight. Look at somebody, point at somebody, wave at them real friendly. Let them know you're friendly. Wave at them, smile at them. Look, tell them I'm friendly. Yeah. Now tell them God's got a rhema word just for you. Tell somebody else, God's got a rhema word just for you. Our key scripture tonight is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading tonight from the New American Standard Version. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Praise God. All right. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. And it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And so he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And so Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Verse 8, so the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears will tingle." It's a pretty important passage of Scripture. I love Eli's instruction to him. He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It was clear in this passage God had something to say to Samuel. But God didn't say it until he knew he had Samuel's attention. Until God knew Samuel was actually listening, he didn't reveal what he had to say. And it reminds me of, you know, how we can be so hard of hearing sometimes. It's like the story about the husband. He and his wife were getting a little older, and he started thinking to himself, "My wife is starting to lose her hearing." He didn't want to offend her. He decided to go talk to her doctor privately. He goes to her doctor and says, "I think my wife is losing her hearing. I don't want to approach her directly about it. What should I do?" The doctor says, "I have an idea. You go back home and get about 25 feet away from her and say something to her and see if she responds." He said, "If she doesn't say anything, then move within 15 feet, say something else to her." See if she responds. He said, if she doesn't say anything, then move within 5 feet and say something to her. See if she responds. And so the man went home, like her doctor said, and he was about 25 feet away from his wife. And he said, hey, hon, what's for dinner? And there was no response. And so, as the doctor had confirmed, he moved about 15 feet, within 15 feet of her hearing. And he said, hey, hon, what's for dinner? There was no response. And so he moved right in range of her, within feet, within 5 feet. And he said, hey, hon, what's for dinner? She said, I'm going to tell you for the fourth time, we're having chicken. What's the moral of the story? He was the one that had the hearing problem, not her. Sometimes you and I are the ones with the hearing problem. Eli was a leader in Israel. At that time, God spoke primarily through the prophet, the priest, and the king. But Eli was growing older, and the scripture says his eyesight was getting dimmer and he was finding it hard to see. But I maintain to you, he was also finding it hard to hear spiritually, because it took three times for Eli to discern that's the Lord talking to that boy. Samuel didn't know. He was brand new at this. He was brand new at this type of discernment. But Eli would have known. But he had grown hard of hearing. And so the passage that we read, those 11 verses, says that a word from the Lord was rare in those days. And I don't know about you, but God has always had a word for his people. God has never gone silent just for the sake of being silent on his people. Something would be wrong if Tony got up and didn't talk to me, if she weren't talking to me, something would be wrong. Sometimes I say, now, baby, it's time to go to sleep. I got to go to sleep now, baby. Well, we can talk, right? She can talk me to sleep. And she'll tell you, I'll do the same thing to her. My kids were over. I fed kids for dinner today, Tony and I. But, you know, if they didn't say something, something would be wrong if they sat there at the table not saying anything. It's unusual if God's not speaking. And here the Bible says God wasn't speaking. But the reason that God wasn't speaking as often is because Israel was not listening. In fact, Israel was in a cycle of disobedience. And whenever we get like that, a word from the Lord can be hard to gather. Unconfessed sin in our lives will make it hard to hear what God is saying. I know a brother won't get no amen when you teach like that. But the scripture will confirm over and over again. Man, you read Psalm 32, those first six verses. Unconfessed sin will make it hard to discern the voice of the Lord. Disobedience will make it hard to discern the voice of the Lord. When we fail to do the last thing that God told us to do, it'll make it hard for us to continue to hear and discern the Lord's voice. Sometimes we become too busy and it makes it hard. We're just busy in the busyness of life, and places to go, people to see, and things to do can make life so incredibly busy that it can become hard to discern the voice of the Lord. When we neglect to spend time in God's word and in his presence, it can make it hard to discern the voice of the Lord. But the Lord sent me here tonight to say this. He's got a rhema word just for you. God has got a rhema word just for you. And I don't know what you need tonight, but I came to tell you that God's already talking. God's already speaking. And the real question is, are you listening? When's the last time you had a spiritual hearing test? And sometimes we need to all examine our spiritual ears, our spiritual hearing. Because as I say, if you are a Christian, and if Christ lives on the inside of you, if you're a Christian, he lives on the inside of you, then you are his child, and he will always speak to his child. He's always got a word for you. Amen. And so I want you to say this, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Say that again, say it to the Lord. Say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Yeah. Because you can get God's attention when you talk like that and you really mean it. Yeah. But God's always had a word. But he sent me to tell you and remind you of this. He's got a rhema word for you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. He's got a rhema word just for you. That's the title of this message. God's got a rhema word just for you. Just for you. Now, Matthew 4, you know, for many of you, the moment I say that scripture, you recognize that chapter. Matthew chapter 4, the beginning of that chapter is where the temptation of Christ occurs, right? And so in that passage of scripture, then powerful information about a rhema word is contained there. First, let's look at verse 1, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written." Everybody say, "It is written." "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word." Everybody say, "But on every word." Yeah, that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him to the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. He said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Verse 7, Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Verse 10, and then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. It is very, very interesting that, first of all, when you see verse 3, Jesus' response concerns a rhema word. Verse 3 again, and the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word." You ought to circle that, "but on every word." In the original language, that literally says, "but on every rhema word." Jesus was saying, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema word." Oh, glory to God. That proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, just like we live on daily food, every day we have to have food to survive. Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema word." That word rhema, of course, that's a word very familiar to most of us in this audience. Thank God. Thank God. Say, "Thank God for rhema." Here it means the spoken word, the spoken word. Now, thank God for the power of the written word. There's nothing like the written word of God. The written word of God is inerrant. The written word of God is filled with power. The written word of God is God speaking to you and I. The written word of God has the answer to every unsolvable problem. The written word of God is alive. Glory to God. And but when Jesus said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God," every rhema word, a rhema word is a word that is quickened to you out of the mouth of the Father. Oh, somebody ought to be listening tonight. When you get a rhema word, it's a word that comes to you straight from the heart of God. A rhema word is when God, he can take his word, he can take his holy written word, and he can transform that word in your life to give that word application in your life. When you get a rhema word, you can be reading scripture, and as you're reading scripture, something in the scriptures seems to rise off the page with application and relevance and relevance to you. Anybody ever had that happen? You're reading the word and it seems like something in the Holy Scripture just comes off the page with application and revelation for you. Oh, when that happens, you're getting a rhema word. I said, when that happens, you're getting a rhema word. I remember going, I've said so often, you know, talking about how God brought me through and led me through when I was going through a divorce, a very sad time in my life. Oh, but I thank God that it gave me a rhema word. 1 Peter 2:19. 1 Peter 2:19. Oh man, God gave me a rhema word. I'll tell you, when God gives you a word like that, You can stand. You can stand. Go with me to 1 Peter 2:19. I was going through a battle, and I had the peace of God on me, and I was reading Scripture, and then from the pages of Scripture arose a rhema word that started at 1 Peter 2:19. It says, "For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. What credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." Oh my goodness. And that scripture rose from the pages of Scripture into my heart with application. And I tell you, that scripture brought me so much comfort and peace, gave me so much direction. And I thank God for that. A rhema word. God's got a rhema word just for you. In the scriptures that we read about the Lord Jesus, every time Satan tempted him, Jesus responded with a rhema word. With a word that had been quickened to him by the Father. A rhema word will bypass the logic of your mind. When you get a rhema word, it will bypass the questions and the questionings in your mind. When you get a rhema word, it will go past the fears and doubts in your head. A rhema word will embed itself down in your heart. And then I double dog dare you, when you verbalize it, when you give your voice to that word that God has planted in your heart, something is going to change. Something's going to move. Something's going to shake. Something's going to change in your life. When you begin to give, you begin to give your mouth, lend your mouth to a rhema word given by God. And so in that scripture in Matthew 4, Jesus is really quoting scriptures that he had been meditating on. Deuteronomy 8:3, we're not going to look at it, but you can write it down, go back and look at it. Deuteronomy 8:3, Deuteronomy 6:16, Deuteronomy 6:13. Every response that Jesus had came out of scripture, and it was quickened to him by the Father God. In each moment of temptation, God had a word. God had a rhema word. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? How many believe God's got a rhema word for you? But there is a correlation between our connection to the word of God and our willingness to be in the book, to meditate in the book, to stay in the book. There's a correlation between that and us being able to sense and hear from God. God gave Paul a rhema word in a life-threatening situation. Look at Acts 23:11. God had a rhema word for Paul. Right in the middle of a life-threatening situation, God had a rhema word. And when God gives you a rhema word, you can stay steady in the midst of chaos, turmoil. Things may be raging all around you, but you can rock yourself to sleep when you've got a rhema word that you speak out of your heart. God gave Paul a rhema word, Acts 23:11, but on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, "Take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also." The Lord had a rhema word for him. He had a rhema word for him. Praise God. He had a word in due season. And sometimes a word from the Lord, a rhema word, can come through another person or a special messenger sent by the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 29, God had a rhema word for a man from Africa, from Ethiopia, a government official who was headed back to Ethiopia. And he was reading the word. He was reading Isaiah, but he didn't understand what he was reading. And then God sent a messenger to him with a rhema word to interpret that word. Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And Philip ran and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And when Philip explained the scripture, the word came alive to the Ethiopian eunuch. He got a rhema word right there on the desert road. God had a rhema word for Mary as she sat at his feet. She sat at the Lord's feet listening to his word in the midst of a busy time. God had a rhema word for Mary. Go with me to Luke 10:38. And this is, by the way, the main way. There are many ways to get a rhema word from the Lord. There are many ways to get a rhema word from the Lord. But the main way the scripture talks about is this way. It's doing what Mary did right here in Luke 10:38-42. You want a word, a rhema word from the Lord? Do what Mary did. Follow these scriptures we're about to read. God's got a word for you. In Luke 10:38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary, and she was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. What was she doing? She was seated at his feet listening to his word. Oh, come on now. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." I wonder, would the Lord say that about you tonight? Would he call your name twice and say, "You are worried about so many things"? He said, but only one thing is necessary, verse 42, "For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Oh, glory be to God. Mary sat at his feet in the midst of a busy season and was willing to receive his word. How often do you and I go past the Lord on our way out of the house when the Lord is waiting to meet with us in quiet time? The Lord's waiting to meet with you in the morning or whenever you meet with him. Maybe you're a night owl. The Lord's waiting to meet with you at night. And how often do we walk right past him into the busyness of life when all the while God's waiting for you and I to meet with him? And God has got a word for you if you're willing to receive it. People walk around all day and say, "Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. When are you going to speak to me? How come you don't speak to me? You talk to everybody else. How come you don't speak to me? Maybe I need a prophet. Maybe I need a special prophet. I've got to be a word. I don't know what I've got to do." Wait a minute. He's waiting for you to put your face in this book, to meditate in his word. And as you do that, something from the scripture is going to rise. Something from the scripture is going to come alive. A rhema word can come when we make melody to the Lord in our hearts. We were worshiping here just a moment ago, and as we were worshiping, oh man, what a way to get God to speak to your heart, to give yourself completely in worship, to forget about your neighbor, to forget about your schedule, to forget about whatever else is occupying your time or your attention or your mind, and to set your heart completely on the Lord and to worship him unabashed, to worship him unashamed, to worship him with all of who you are, to magnify, to bless his name, and to bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, that is a way for the Spirit then to give you psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as the scripture says. Ephesians 5:18-21 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Then what? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord, making melody with your heart to the Lord, making melody with your heart to the Lord. You know, you may not be able to sing from a natural perspective. You may not be able to sing a lick. But with your heart, you can make melodies to the Lord. There's something about a brother or a sister in Christ who will lift their voice to the Lord and make melody to the Lord. And you may not have a great baritone voice. You may not be a great tenor. You may not be a great soprano or whatever. There's some people can sing on key perfectly, but may not have a word from the Lord. But I'll tell you, when you set your heart on him, set your affection on him, it doesn't matter what your voice sounds like in the choir. They may not let you sing in the choir. Oh, but God will let you sing in the heavenly choir. Praise God. And you, when you begin to magnify the Lord and you begin to honor the Lord, God, it'll make it so much easier for you to discern what the Lord is saying to you as you utter psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A rhema word comes when you create the right atmosphere. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, they set a certain atmosphere there. And when they set the atmosphere, then the Holy Ghost spoke. The Holy Ghost didn't speak, and then they set the atmosphere. They set the atmosphere, and then the Holy Ghost spoke. You're looking for a word from the Lord. Oh, minister to him. Create a certain atmosphere in your home, right there in your apartment, and watch the Lord speak to you. Remember that whatever word you get from the Lord should always agree with the scripture. We got too many people willing, they running off, you know, half crazy. They get something they think is from God, and they never compare it to the litmus test of Holy Scripture. And whatever so-called word you say you got, it better line up with scripture. Like the lady came to me and said, well, I'm going to leave my husband. I said, oh, he's cheating on you, beating on you, he's giving you. She said, oh, no, he's a good man. He served Jesus, come to church. He's a good man. I said, well, you can't leave a man like that. She said, but I had a dream. In a dream, I saw my soulmate. I said, that's a bunch of nonsense. She said, but the dream seems so real. She said, you don't understand, Pastor Bill. The dream seems so. I said, I don't care what kind of how real it seemed. The devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Don't give me some nonsense like that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You better compare your dream to the litmus test of Holy Scripture. And if it don't line up, forget about it. She said, it seemed real. It seemed so real. I don't care what seemed real. There's nothing more real than God's holy word. There ain't nothing more real than this book right here. We got too many people running around with stuff they say is God, and they won't compare it to scripture. Can I tell you this? We don't have time to go there, but 1 John 5:7, the Spirit and the Word, the Father, the Spirit, the Word, they all agree. And whatever you say you got from God should agree. It should agree with the Father. It should agree with the Spirit. It should agree with the Lord Jesus. It should agree with the written word. They all agree. And when you're the only one in disagreement, something is wrong with you and your crazy, goofy dream. Does God give people dreams? He does. But let me tell you this, that God is not going to, every day of your life, he's not leading you with a dream every day, so you need to stop all that nonsense. There is the reality of the Spirit, but it must be discerned by the wise believers of the Lord Jesus. God has got a word for you. And the scripture says, listen, a word of the Lord will come when you become sensitive, the more sensitive that we are to the inward witness. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our mind. No, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And when we become more cognizant, more sensitive to the leading, to the impulses, to the promptings of the Holy Ghost down on the inside, oh, you'll sense the Lord talking to you all the time. So often we're missing out on something that God is saying because we've become dull in hearing. But tonight God sent me to tell you that he's got a rhema word just for you. Listen, let me conclude this message by saying this. If you want to say, you say, Brother Bill, how could I have some application? How could I, if I want to improve my hearing spiritually, what could I do? Number one, I'd say obey your conscience. The more sensitive you are to your conscience, oh man, the more sensitive you'll be to the voice of your spirit. Acts 24:16, Paul said, in view of this, I do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and man. Stay sensitive to your conscience. And we ought to be quick to forgive, and we ought to be quick to repent. And when God tells you to go and repent, then you need to go repent. Wish I had a bigger amen. Secondly, don't allow any unconfessed sin in your life. Don't allow unconfessed sin. Read Psalm 36, verses 1 through 6. Don't allow unconfessed sin to keep you from being sensitive to the Lord. Third, instantly obey what God is telling you to do. When he tells you something, instantly obey. 1 Samuel 15:22 says to obey is better than sacrifice. Yeah, read that whole scripture. Number four, spend time regularly meditating in God's word. Joshua 1:8 said this book of instruction continually. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Number five, spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. No one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. And number six, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Worship the Lord in your own home, in your own way. Lift your hands to the Lord. Take time to spend reverencing him and blessing his name. God's got a rhema word just for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace in our lives. Thank you that you've got a word. You've got a word in due season. Someone here is looking for a word. Someone here is looking for you to speak to them. And Father, you're waiting on them. They are assuming they're waiting on you, but you're waiting on them. So Father, help us all to be sensitive as you speak to us, through the Spirit, and through the Word, as you guide us and lead us into your plan. Guide us and lead us into all of your will. Lord, we love you and bless you and thank you. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need something tonight, come on down here where these anointed men are ready to minister to you. They didn't come to counsel tonight, but they came to with the word, and they can answer a few questions from the word based. And these ladies, the same way, these anointed ladies. So if you're a lady, come on down here. You want someone to agree with you in prayer. You say, hey, I want to get born again. Come on down here. They'll pray with you. Someone says, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Someone says, I have a special prayer request. I want somebody to agree with me. If you're a lady, come to the lady. If you're a guy, come to the guys. Listen, we want you to be back here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We love, love, love you guys. All of you at home, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless.